Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. And it is now or never. And that debt is fraud. And I've been meaning to, because I have a lot of friends that, you know, look at that debt. They talk about the national security and all of that. And I need to make a special show that really highlights this whole concept of how that debt is fraud. And so we'll do that in the near future. What we're really trying to focus on this year is to cover the content that's necessary. And so we'll be diving through the last of the amendments, and then we're going to dive into the ratification debates. And then we'll dive into the Madison's notes on the Constitutional Convention. And the reason why is you got to understand that in the context of contract law, there is certain elements that are clearly integrated into the contract. The concepts of how they came to conclusions of setting something into the contract. A great case in point is the equal footing doctrine that basically pounded out Article 4, Section 3 in the admission of new states into the Union, which is why there was no power, there was no delegation to the federal government to allow them to subjugate or even diminish the sovereignty of a state. Now, there was a clause in the second follow-up. You know, you've got there's two paragraphs. The initial paragraph identifies that Congress has the responsibility. This is a role and responsibility that they must admit new states into the Union. Now, that's Congress, not the Supreme Court, not the president. Congress had the responsibility. The Supreme Court coming in after the fact and telling the states that they can't have county governments as little bodies within their republic flies in the face of the Constitution. It flies in the face of the separation of powers. It just flies in the face of our republican form of government and the uniqueness of American republicanism. Why counties matter most is probably one of the most important documents you need to read. The next one is coming up. Now, actually, to get you ready for why counties matter most, you should go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org and read what the real problem is. These are three articles that actually are the precursors to why counties matter most. So what is the real problem? That's the first one. The second one is martial law in the 21st century. These are foundational principles that people need to understand. And then the third one is the unseen teeth in the Constitution. The fourth one is why counties matter most, a functional and architectural view of the Republic. Now, the last one, well, actually probably not the last one, but the next one, which is a doozy, if you think why counties matter most is long, the next one is actually going to be much longer because this is going to dive into the whole process of how you take your county back, but we need to lay out some very specific things. So one of the things is we actually dive into the concept of government. That's something that nobody's ever done. And as a matter of fact, when you go to civics classes, they don't dive into this. They don't help you understand the differences between a form of government and a government type. And so when we look at a form of government, you have a republican form of government, you have a theocracy, you have these, you know, democracy, these types of governments of how the people are ruled. Then you actually have the body government. That body government could be a confederation, it could be a federation, it could be a just a simple empire. a simple empire, meaning that as Rome continued to grow, it wasn't Rome. And maybe the Egyptian Empire might be good, or the Chinese. When they consume, you just become a part of the whole, and they will dominate and rule you. In America, that's not the case. And so we go through these different, I call them planes, because when you're talking about a very specific thing, how the process works, that's a different plane of government than, you know, the form of government or the type of government and so forth and so on. And understanding the nuances and differences in these things really helps you get your arms wrapped around this concept that we actually have this thing called a hybrid constitutional republic. We're supposed to have constitutions that actually delegate power to our government. Every government that is formed must be formed by a constitution to be aligned with the constitution and the republic as it stands, based on the maxim that was declared in the Declaration of Independence, that we the people institute our government. And in so doing, we use constitutions to do so. Now, that's not there, but as we moved forward, they created the first constitution, which was the Articles of Confederation, in creating the Confederation. As they moved forward, they tried to create a federation. The federation plan was rejected. You need to understand that. The federation plan was rejected, and they maintained a confederation, but they actually innovated in republicanism. Now, I'm down a rat hole that I need to get out of because there's some shaming to do. So let me just say this. When you make your appeal to heaven, please do so in the way you feel most comfortable. If you would like to start a prayer circle, just let us know. We'll actually put your information on the website so that you can get involved in a prayer circle in trying to focus a prayer and an appeal to heaven to help us see what we need to see, to understand what we have to do to truly restore what we're supposed to have. What is happening in D.C. with DOGE and the Trump administration is the big deceit. And I'm going to one more obligatory, and then I'm going to pounce. Your campaign begins now. It actually began in November, right after the last election. If the outcome was that you didn't win, or the outcome was that a bad person won, then you need to start challenging that bad person today. I've had a conversation this past week with an organization that's actually got these legislators that are coming up for election this year. It's an odd year. I was actually flabbergasted that there was so much in play this coming year. So if you're in that situation, you're actually heading up on this concept of where, you know, you have to file and you have to get engaged. So this one organization, I highly recommended that they actually start making an appeal and adjoining two campaigns, because this is a great way to actually, you know, develop your reach. It's a great way to grow yourself, because as you start helping candidates understand why we need candidates demanding full compliance of the Constitution, not another framework of monarchy. We've got a new king in the White House, and that's all this is. And we'll dive into this. But your campaign begins now. Now, it's a small world. And when it comes down to, you know, people seeing what's going on, it is not unnoticed how lots of people are going, hey, GR, it looks like they're doing what you've been calling for. It looks like they're kind of doing what you want. Not at all. This is a huge perversion, and by the way, this is not an original thought. This whole concept, apparently, there's a person running around that is actually making claim to influencing Elon Musk that this is what they needed to do, and so Elon Musk with Trump got together, and they said, yeah, let's go do this. And they have no idea what damage they're doing and what the valuable time we are wasting, and how this truly is a huge deception. And as a matter of fact, this person, her name is Maria Zack. I don't know if you want to spell it with a Z-A-C-K, because I've seen it both ways, and a Z-A-C-H. Now, the American thinker basically called out this, you know, this brilliance of an idea of auditing the Constitution for fiscal purposes so that the government can kind of get into framework. But actually, they're only auditing the fiscal side. They're not actually auditing whether the federal constitution legitimately has the power to actually control energy, to control labor, to control education, on and on and on. And the point is even if the king or the president chooses to get rid of the Department of Education, that doesn't get rid of it. They can come right back along and say, you know what, we need to do this. The reason is the parties, the states, have to do this, folks. This is why we went through, and you can go through the five critical documents on the resolutions of 1798. These five documents will clearly point out why the states are the only ones that can do this. They have to basically force Congress into stating and declaring to the world that they assumed powers that were outside of their authority, that they actually, with the help of other nations, created debt that literally is now putting us into this peril, this perceived peril, when the fact is, the legal fact is, that that debt is fraud. Any money spent by government on something they have no authority to do, and those people, these nations that are giving us this money, like China, Britain, and the rest of them, they know we don't have that authority. They know technically this has all been assumed, and this is the big charade. The states have to step in. The states actually have to point to that debt clock and say, we don't owe that. You may think you owe... We owe you money, but you were equally culpable in creating this deceit. And that's why you came willingly, coming with cash and basically dumping it on our shores so that we could create such an insurmountable debt that they could come foreclosing with this premise that they got away with stealing our nation. Folks, you need to take a stand. But go to the academic source documents, ASD page, on Reclaiming the Republic. It's the third button down, academic source documents. And as you kind of look at the very top, we put up the National Treasure, the most important documents this nation possesses. These are the ratification debates. We've got the Bible, which is very important for your individual salvation. So you got scriptures, but that's important to you. But when it comes to the treasure for this nation, the Bible for this nation are the ratification debates. That's why we're going to be diving into them. So as we go down this, you know, academic source document page, you'll find the five critical documents. And then underneath that, we have other documents as well. And so I don't know what we're going to be adding, but those five critical documents are 13 audio files. We challenge you to read along and listen to these audio files with a group of people that we've been doing dial-ins on a weekly basis, where everybody takes turns in reading what Madison said, in reading what Jefferson said. And we place context to this. We basically go all the way through this. And I believe that if you read these things, you will become a powerful statesperson. You can actually speak with authority and point your finger to DC, Trump, Elon Musk, and Maria Zack. Shame on you. All you're doing is postponing the inevitable collapse. Because that is what they have to do. This is one of the reasons why you can't trust conservative entertainers. You can't trust conservative organizations. Anything that has money assigned to this. You know, I get a little flack left and right. by people to say, you know, how come you don't take money? How come you're not taking money? I thought at the beginning that it would be good, but I think if you want to contribute, you need to throw your money into this on your own, and you need to drive it. But don't steal it, because if you do, shame on you. And if you actually cross the line, because Maria Zach was just on that side of the line of really, I mean, she crossed it, but she kind of like some of the music that you hear today is just a little bit of a spin, different enough to say, you know, this is not really Republic Review. And it's true. What they're doing is not Republic Review. The premise and the idea of auditing and actually identifying all these things that shouldn't be done. But the reality is, and the underlying question is, why are you not getting rid of things you have no authority to be doing? They're only looking at the money, and everybody is applauding. This is troublesome. And as a matter of fact, as we were just covering this past Monday, we were talking about what it would take to actually, you know, get going in shutting down what the states would do. We talked about the importance of the 13, the importance of the 29 states, and how once we have states that are dedicated and have public servants that run their campaign on saying, hold me accountable to the Constitution. I have taken a legally binding oath, and I must support that Constitution. And I will stand by everything I do in support of that Constitution. Wow. That's what America deserves, folks. We don't deserve vengeance. We deserve servants actually fulfilling their oath and obligation in their service. That's what we deserve. So, as we started off last week, and I just started going down this, you know, this point on the education system, because I was trying to create a contrast to Dodge. Because the contrast is Dodge is basically trying to defund and basically get rid of, and I'd be surprised if they actually shut everything down. And what I would also, you know, go further to say, if they did, this is how everything gets hidden. We have no idea how deep the corruption and the conspiracy goes in the undermining of America. But there's no doubt in my mind. In some fashion, in some drawer, in some cache of data on a computer, server, storage, what have you. There are documents that have been forgotten that will actually prove names and what their plans were, what they were doing, and the fact that they knew they were trying to undermine this republic and our Constitution, because the education system for decades has been weaponizing our children to literally cast off their liberty and to burn what is left of this thing we call the Constitution so that they can be thrusted into the perfect utopia of global governance and communism. Folks, we have no idea how deep and how dark and how evil. You know what? I can't say that. If you understand evil, then you truly understand what's going on and where we are as a nation. There's so many people that don't. As a matter of fact, I pointed this out a long time ago because when I was in the Marine Corps in the 90s, there were some research studies that were done. And one of the studies was that out of all of the Americans surveyed, it was like barely 50% claimed to be Christian. And when they claimed to be Christian, these, you know, barely 50% were those who went to church on a regular basis. So they, you know, they were Christian. Barely 50%. Now, when you look at how many out of all the people surveyed, in addition to the barely 50%, there were less than 40% of those people. I believe these numbers are pretty close. There was less than 40% of the people surveyed that did not believe, or actually believed in the devil, that the devil existed. In other words, over 60% of Americans did not even believe that the devil didn't exist. Folks, what's the greatest lie the devil will tell you? That he doesn't exist. So So these things are very troubling, but let me dive into the education system and why this would be our top priority, because as I've said, it has been weaponizing and it has been working tirelessly. Evil never sleeps, and it has been working overtime to basically destroy what is left of this republic by actually weaponizing your children. Now, I do believe that we have this, there's this turning point. We're at that turning point today, and folks, we need to start creating constitutional clubs in the education system so that the kids can actually start revolting against all of this, the empirical lies that have been shoveled and burying them. All of these lies about evolution and DEI, all of this crap. These kids should be able to just actually cast this off and actually be the cultural revolution that gets us back into the framework of the Constitution. I believe this is the time, because it is innate. It doesn't matter what you think or, you know, how evil something is. Kids are not necessarily evil. They have this innate drive to actually rebel against the current prevailing thoughts. And I believe that we're seeing this at a point, and I believe that there's going to be kids that are going to be great champions and statesmen, statespersons on the Constitution. So why not start arming them and preparing them? This is why these clubs need to actually start standing and actually teaching the Constitution, not the Hillsdale College way, not dumbing people down and just accepting government as it has evolved. No. We cannot allow government to evolve outside of that Constitution. They don't have the power to do that. That's why we have to actually say, get back. You know, those that Beatles song, get back. Anyway, okay, so as we talked about the Republic Review being initiated and the 29 states, now all the other states are going to be welcome, and I believe those other states will try to come in. But it doesn't matter. Even if you have 5 dissenting votes, the overwhelming 29-5 will still give the same outcome, that these directives will be generated from the body of the states, from the union, and driven into Congress, and they will provide instructions of what Congress must declare as it decommissions and dismantles the Department of Education. The fact is, they have to actually declare that they created this unholy vestige of power without the authority, that they were wrong in assuming this power. They were wrong in spending every penny that they did on education. The only education that the federal government has a legitimate reason to spend money on is into training of and preparing the militia and setting standards and so forth. That's it. That is it. So in your state, you need to actually start haranguing and demanding that your militias, your Second Amendment folks, they need to start demanding, where is our money? Where's the federal dollars to start educating everybody on the militia? By doing this, we actually become the enforcement agencies of our own law. This is where we actually begin self-governance. It's an amazing thing, and America can once again thrive with 6 shooters on our hips and peace in our streets. Anyway, so as we dive down into what comes out of this basically directive, first thing Congress has to do is they declare that they created an abomination. Then we need to identify all the money that was spent basically fraudulently and and all the way up to the predecessor. You know, we want to go all the way back. We want to go all the way back to Horace Mann, all these people that were involved, the money that was spent on all of this, and keep a running total on how the federal government was spending our tax dollars on things they had no authority to do. And so as we do this, we're going to find that the world owes us money big time. Anyway, we're going into break. We'll be right back after this.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, so as I was saying, because we're focused right now on the Department of Education, and I just picked that as a priority because I think that that one department is doing is so much damage to our future citizens and so forth. I'll tell you what, there are lots of things that are directly attacking us. There's no doubt the chemtrails. There's no doubt the geoengineering. But the cultural, the social engineering that is happening in our education system is absolutely the biggest threat. The only way we can get on top of this is actually stopping the inculcation of these abominable paradigms. We need children to start understanding the importance of liberty and the importance of giving everybody the opportunity to learn the truth, to have access to the truth, and actually be able to choose for themselves how and what they and how they want to live. You don't have to live in America. If you actually, I think that this ought to be a very simple process. If you really want to live in a communist nation and you think that that nation is, you know, the cat's meow, then we'll send you there. We're not going to move all your stuff there, but we'll send you there, and you can, you know, have, as long as you're not an activist, as long as you're not somebody that actually we have to deport. The people we deport, like Bill Gates, they lose everything. They lose all their property. They lose all their money. Everything. Now, I commonly make comments on social media about the billionaires. And many people think, oh, so, you know, we've got these good billionaires. These are really righteous billionaires. Folks, there's no such thing as a righteous billionaire. I believe that every billionaire out there has had to sell their soul in one way or the other to actually obtain that level of affluence. And they're only there because their lust for power and to be a part of the collective power of a ruling class. Billionaires today and money and affluence that has been able to be amassed under this scheme, what most people think is a capitalist scheme, under this mercantile scheme. In other words, the governments have been actually taken over and controlled, and they've allowed a certain class of people, evil people, to, I'll just say, accede to actually, you know, to go into these high classes of power. The good people, and I'll give you a good example. Michael McKibbins, I think this guy's a great man. I think he has great intent. Leader.com, there's other things. I've actually had him on my show. Now, I don't go as far as some people like Michael and basically find some documents and say, aha, this is a fact. Because the veracity of this document itself has to really speak to, you know, that is a fact. In other words, the type of document, what it is and how it was discovered, so forth. Anyway, back to Michael, though. Here's a man that created the design of Facebook, the software, algorithm, what have you, for social media, Facebook. Look up this man's story. I believe that they saw a person that was incorruptible or that they couldn't corrupt easily to say, hey, we think this is a great thing. And I'd like to actually get the backstory on how that kind of happened, how they decided that he wasn't worthy to come into this sphere of influence, and how Zuckerberg was the guy that was ready because they bestowed this technology upon Zuckerberg. The patents were actually taken out of the patents. So the United States Patent Office deliberately has been sharing your information. And it's the same thing with Amazon, Costco, big corporations. And they do this with full immunity because have you ever heard Costco, you know, getting sold downriver because they've stolen people's proprietary candies or information and so forth? No. And as a matter of fact, Amazon, Bezos, all Google, all of these big tech companies, they're stealing their IP all the time. We are in a world where the law does not apply to this class of people. If you are corruptible, the law doesn't apply to you. I mean, look at the Bidens, look at the Clintons, look at the Obamas, look at the leaders and the crimes that they have committed. And I know that everybody wants to see the perp walk. We need to see justice, not necessarily the vengeance of the perp walk and all of that. But anyway, let me get back to the Department of Education. This directive will provide Congress a very specific timeline of how they will fully sunset the Department of Education. It is my recommendation. Now, it's all up to the states. If they really want to shut it down fast, then, you know, they need to come up with what that timeline is. But it needs to be realistic. There's no point in trying to create, you know, a timeline that just can't be met so that we can actually capture. Because one of the things we need to do is we need to capture all the data. That is essential for us. If you want justice down the road, we need that data. So we have to make sure that as the states basically step in, the states are identifying precisely, in other words, they're creating the interfaces to basically, you know, go in and seal that data, basically archiving it, taking it, whatever's necessary, because it's actually the union's data. Keep in mind that Department of Education is not a domestic matter. It is not within the Constitution, and so it should have been left to the states. So that needs to become a part of the state's collective resource. Now, there are going to be resources that the federal government has that will be very valuable, not in necessarily the case of justice, but in the case of the sheer data. Look at the Energy Department, all the geomapping and the data that they've been able to extrapolate, where the minerals and everything, they have it all. So the states understanding that, because you think that the EPA, the Department of Energy, because the Department of Energy, one of the things that created the Department of Energy was government control over the waste of energy. Before the Department of Energy was created, the federal government started actually regulating under nuclear power. They started regulating the disposal of that because that was a good thing to do. See, it always starts with good things, right? And so, well, we created this nuclear energy. We've unleashed this genie. And so we need to regulate the manner of how we do that. And eventually they became the Department of Energy. And now they basically they're telling you what energy you can use in your home. They have no authority to even be involved. So the point is that there's going to be a lot of data that's out there. And as a matter of fact, some of it's social data. Some of it is like data in understanding, you know, how people behave better and how people, you know, you can control them. And we're going to find out that everything that they've been doing to us all lends to their ability to control us. I mean, do you doubt any? Do you think that this is, you know, way out there? Heck no. This is well within the realms of reason, okay? So the directive will basically also, you know, get very specific in directing those resources, such as email, such as data collected, data produced, curriculum, all of that type of stuff. We're just talking about the Department of Education. I mean, I've deviated on energy and so forth, but the fact is that all of this information is going to become very useful, especially because it names names. Now, we've had Cynthia on this show before, and she has mentioned the importance to me in private conversations, the importance of being able to identify these people who were involved, because many of these people, because they were involved, were able to position themselves into a huge windfall of wealth at the expense of the people. The railroad companies and so forth and so on and so on. So we need to literally have the data, because getting that data will allow us, for those people, to actually obtain justice. Much of the wealth of the United States, even in the 1800s, was leaving this country so that we could be basically pickings. Anyway, so the states will then take full control over the education system. What that means is the doors are shut. There's no such thing as a national resource of curriculum and so forth. Now, that doesn't mean that the states can't have strategies and the states can't work together. As a matter of fact, the states really can create a constitutional collaborate on all domestic matters apart from the federal meddling. But to do this, this requires a minor change. A minor change to the Constitution is necessary. And so, bottom line, when we look at Article 1, Section 10, you can find that in Article 1, Section 10, it basically states, I think it's down at the very, actually it's towards the top. No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation for grant letter, blah, 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 and in impairing the obligations of contract. But actually, it also goes down a little bit further and basically says that no state without Congress's consent can enter into an agreement or compact with another state or foreign power engage in war unless actually invaded. So in other words, there's this no compact clause in the Constitution that the states can't collaboratively work together on a domestic matter. Now, that's not the intent behind this contract clause. The contract clause was to basically make sure that the states weren't creating warfare with each other. However, if the states believe that it is in their best interest to strategize an education plan, an energy plan that would be best for the United States, then this state office, or actually I should say this union polity, would then be able to actually dictate to the president, who has the responsibility of interfacing with the foreign nations of the world. This polity would dictate, these are the policies that you need to frame. It really changes, and the president will all of a sudden no longer be a god and king, that it's all left to his discretion of the policies that he's going to do. So in other words, as these polities actually start working, we would actually have policies and strategies that would serve us into the future, to where, because prevailing thought, you know, we would actually probably still be in the same place to say, you know what, this fossil fuel is good, but a better form of energy, not this alternate crap, not this solar, not the electrical, better forms of combustion engines and so forth are the things that we need to really, like hydrogen, we need to really start looking at this. And so I believe that we would have been leading and we wouldn't be in the place we are today. I think that had we done this and we did this right, as we started growing and maturing and living under the precepts of enlightenment, I truly believe that by the middle 20th century, by the 1950s, 1960s, we would not have been involved in those world wars. We would never have sent troops outside the United States. The only deployment of force is through the Navy. We cover this all the time. So bottom line is, as we look at, you know, how we would have actually been behaving, the national policy would have been very simple. The national policy when it comes to foreign aid, because the states really needed to step in and say, you can't tax us for that crap. You have no authority to spend a penny, you know, going out to another country. You can only spend money on these things. Those powers right there in Article 1, Section 8, and nowhere in there says you can buy influence with other nations. Therefore, the policy, the foreign policy, because Washington didn't get this right, the foreign policy should have actually migrated towards, as we became free and unencumbered by the British, let me just say by the British Empire, because they were always in our knickers. After the Treaty of Ghent, we should have started changing our strategies, and the Monroe Doctrine was the right way to go. The Monroe Doctrine basically says we're in control of this hemisphere, and as our influence actually changed to the world, we should have actually been, instead of saying we're in control of the hemisphere, we're welcoming those members of this hemisphere to become a state in the Union. And I believe had we done that, the world would be a lot different. We probably would never have had these world wars. Think of that. I don't even think communism would have been even considered a solution. Nationalism in itself drives conflict and war because we're not working to unite as people. We've got leaders that are trying to divide and conquer. So, as we kind of look at this collaborative, now we've actually are working to actually create a state congress or an educational congress. Now, I highly believe that you can't put experts of everything in one room. Like when we look at Congress and how they completely fail because they're not experts of anything. But I believe that if we actually had really smart people into strategizing our education system, then I think that we wouldn't even have the military academy education system at all in America. I believe we never would have gone there. I believe that we actually would have actually created what I would consider a true free market on education. Why is it? I mean, it's not like there's a monopoly. They monopolized it by saying it must be in these types of institutions, these schools, these districts. And in so doing, look at the money they spent in building these edifices. Look at the money they spent in creating this army of warriors to ideologically retune your children into being godless people, seeking to get rid of their liberties. I believe that actually, if the true competitive market worked, there would be, you know, maybe a few hundred teachers at all. Because the best of the brightest would actually be making their money. And remember, the Constitution does not protect people's intellectual property indefinitely. The Constitution only protects intellectual property for a short period of time to promote new ideas, to allow that property to actually get out so that people can innovate or even come up with better ideas. This idea of, you know, looking at how people have been using government to protect their little nest egg, to protect their little goose that's laying them their golden egg, like, you know, Eric Clapton's music repertoire that has been making him a millionaire and an affluent person. Had we actually had a limit on the copyrights of music to where it didn't matter anymore, You know, after 5-10 years, and I think if when you really looked at it, I even think 20 years was a stretch. The pharmaceutical companies are big time. They're trying to hide behind all of this, which is one of the reasons why they've basically been merging and acquiring each other, because the less competition, more control that they can all share over their own, you know, their own manufacturing and so forth, because, you know, they are making the business decisions that benefit them and screw us. That's how it's been, and that's the way it's going to be. But I will tell you, go look at yaymath.org. Now, I've asked Robert to come on the show. That's the guy that actually does the videos. He's the mind behind that. I believe that if you want your children to learn math, you would put them in front of his channel and or on his website and go and use his content. And I believe that people could actually, now, to be honest, it's one thing to be able to have a copyright on those things, you know, the content and what he has done, but that would be limited so that anybody else could start coming along and actually competing with him. When we look at how are we better served by actually having bad teachers in the classroom and ideologues that are trying to, you know, actually pervert your children? Are we better off because of that education system? Everybody has a very similar education system. And why? Because all countries need to be controlled. You create a free market education system where the parents and the societies, or I should say the communities, can say, hey, look at this. Look at this. We've got this science guy. We've got this gal over here that's teaching literature, history, what have you. And now we start racing on what? Because when you really think about it, it's not like we would abandon these arts. It's not like we would abandon the fine points of culture. But we wouldn't be wasting time in trying to understand DEI and trying to sexualize our children. As a matter of fact, I pointed out in Wyoming, if you look at the billions of dollars spent in education, they could have easily laid a fiber network out to every home in Wyoming by this point in time where they all had high-speed internet. And you know what? They wouldn't need busing. And every parent could basically create a curriculum for their children. And actually, because I'm telling you, you cannot stay in Wyoming living on welfare. You have to work. You have to have a ranch. You have to put, you know, food on the table and so forth. And if we actually got rid of all the government subsidies that went in and got rid of all the regulations there, energy and all sorts of markets would open up in Wyoming, and Wyoming would not be a half a million. The interior of the United States would not be these flyover states. They would be the next beckoning future of economies, whether they be for minerals, you know, rare earth minerals, whether they be for energy or other resources or other opportunities, because really, where should the data centers be? They shouldn't be in the most expensive areas, like, you know, outside of Seattle, down in the Silicon Valley, or somewhere in the expensive regions of Virginia, New Jersey, and so forth, having their own data center. It would be much cheaper and actually more realistic. But that would go into infrastructure, and we're talking about education. So if the states have not already had their state constitutional convention, because we need to talk about this, as we start moving forward, as we start looking at what's going on in the states and what needs to happen in the counties, as we get to, because remember that these states that have formed this alliance, the 29 states, they have woken up. And I believe that these 29 states, all of them, are either on the path or have already finished a constitutional convention for their state to peel back most of the powers that the state has. And basically, the counties or the people have basically done that to ensure that the powers are closest to the people to maintain their control over government. Now, I already talked to you about, at the beginning of the show, why this the First Amendment, the right of the First Amendment petition, and how this is all important. And when you look in this final article, you're going to see that we lay out this argument of how to start, you know, how things start moving as the people in the county get involved. That eventually your county commissioners, instead of actually having Congress having all of these trials and having all of this, you know, these committees and what to do and how to, you know, how to screw us over, the counties will actually have citizen committees and discussing infrastructure strategies, discussing educational strategies, discussing commerce strategies, discussing housing strategies. God forbid that we become so pompous as a nation like we have already to tell a family that you can't tough it out in a shack on your own. That you have to have a certain standard of living, and if you can't, we're going to put you in your own project. We're going to basically take care of you and enslave you and make you dependent on us. That is a very dark and evil world. It's an incompatible. It fails to reach any level of compassion. How's that? So when we look at what we need to do as a society, we need, because if you look, many of these people that, you know, came to the opportunities, like Carnegie Mellon, even Rockefeller and so forth, some of these people were actually struggled and started at the bottom. And some people actually had benefits because their parents and their parents' parents and their parents' parents had this long line of history of money and affluence. And so, I mean, their destiny was already made for them. But many people were able to rise up and pull up their bootstraps and actually, you know, have the opportunity of succeeding. That is not so today. It is very rare, and I believe that many of the people that, like I've already told you, Zuckerberg, the idiot with Facebook, here is a man that was handed the technology that would make him a billionaire. How'd that happen? Look at Bill Gates. Bill Gates' parents, I think his mother was a vice president of IBM. So you think it's just a coincidence that he won this contract to basically provide the operating system for IBM? Look at who is the number one, the largest computer manufacturer in the world. It is still International Business Machines, IBM. Why? Because they buy up all the technology. They just sit out there and they've continued. Some of the best computer and most innovative computer companies have been destroyed because of IBM. I've talked about SGI and the history of SGI and how IBM, over a long period of time and with the collusion of government, destroyed SGI. SGI was, the sun was shining on SGI and its innovations. And then they sent in these bad CEOs that literally robbed them blind, you know, ran them into the ditch. And that was by design. Folks, everything's by design. When we come back on Monday, I will once again shame Maria Zach and all these people that think that what's going on in D.C. is good for America. We're spelling out the only way we'll actually restore our constitutional framework is by using the States and Republic Review. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.